Welcome to 167 Hours Beyond Sunday, a companion podcast to the sermons of Crossroads Christian Church in Gray, Tennessee, where we try to go beyond the message and talk about what life looks like in the 167 hours that we're not in church a week. I'm your host, my name's Ryan Evans, and today I'm joined by one of my family ministry team members and kids minister, Heather Logan. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Ryan. I really want to wave. I feel like I should be waving or something.
But I mean, you know, I'll appreciate it. The listeners won't know, but you can send an audible wave.
Yeah, there you go. Just wave
in front of the microphone.
Like if you do it really fast, can you hear the wind or something?
You can hear
yeah,
a little bit.
Maybe. Okay. All right. Obviously work with children.
Well, that was the oddest way we've ever begun the podcast.
Hey, fun fact. You want to know something? So this is my first podcast. I'm yeah. super excited. But I've been on the air several times.
Okay.
I've been on the air in South Africa on a radio station, on our local radio station here. Uh-huh. And also, recently, I was just on air in Anchorage, Alaska. So
I think, I mean, podcasts are just like a different version of radio,
like a
really.
Fancy name.
It's pretty much the same thing. It's just instead of it being live, it's just more of a consumed thing, but
yeah,
whatever. Hey, so for those of you, for those who do not know you, I thought it'd be interesting to talk about this. You just sent your youngest off to college.
Truth.
So how are you doing? Is it hard to let go of the baby, or is it like good riddance, this is old hat, done this before?
Both. You know, it's easier when you have a house full of people and you're sending them away and you're kind of excited but sad, mm-hmm. but you still have people there.
Yeah.
But he's the baby, so there's a little bit more emotional that goes into it. And I did not realize that dropping an 18-year-old at college was going to make a grown woman cry as much as I did on my way home. So, but it's been good. It's been really good. He's enjoying college life. I'm so happy for that. We hear from him, hopefully, maybe, usually, occasionally,
he's
once a week.
He's pretty independent. You know, I can say that because I've got the pleasure of having him in student ministry. So
you know him well.
But
so.
It's a weird time to send a kid off to college.
It really is. I mean, it was a weird time to graduate him and a weird time to send him off to college. And it's like, actually, it was kind of like the best thing, too, because when you become that parent that you want to consume yourself with your child and be that helicopter, even though you're not, it was a really great way for them to just be like, bye mom, see ya, you can't be on campus anymore.
Were parents allowed to come into the dorm room?
We had to wear masks and we had limited time and, you know, just get them in and get out and go on the road.
Didn't even think about that side of things.
Kind of a blessing for him though, and maybe a blessing for me because I really didn't want to see him, you know, him to see me all, you know, wailing about him because that's just not me. So, but anyway, but yeah, he's there doing great and enjoying the college life.
Good. So. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. So Candy Carnival's coming up in a few weeks. In the last few years, you've led that event. Speaking of COVID craziness and changes and all that, so what's it been like planning that?
Well, first of all, I have to say, you said a few weeks. Ryan, do the math. 12 days, buddy. Count it down. That's where we're at. 12
Woo!
Days.
Very close.
Yeah. And just like anything else we've talked about, Candy Carnival is definitely uncharted territory, just like VBS, just like anything that we've done going forward. So we've really had to like back up and make some hardcore decisions, throw things away, add things in. But it's been a learning experience for, I think, for anybody across the board. But also to, you know, full disclosure, it is my favorite event that we do here at Crossroads. And I love communicating and meeting and seeing and being a part of it. So I'm very thankful that we still get to do it.
Yeah. So. I mean, I know it's always something that I've enjoyed. And last year, obviously, I just self-indulged and basically said, hey, I want to do a room.
Yeah, Batman.
So we turned, the kids' church into the Bat Cave, which was a great joy for me. I don't know how much the kids enjoyed it, but it was fun for me.
Well, sometimes it's just fun to be in community with your community. Mm-hmm. I think that is just the reward that comes with that. So I appreciate that.
So for those who don't know, I mean, typically, you know, we're walking through the buildings, we're interacting with the rooms. What's it going to look like this year?
So it is definitely going to be a little bit different. All the participants will stay in their car and drive through.
Okay.
All of our difference makers will have tents set up, and they will be some extremely and elaborately decorated, and some will just be passing out candy with maybe some lights. But they'll have that opportunity to engage and connect with people as they drive through our maze within our Crossroads parking lot.
Okay.
So, and we'll have little grabbers. Some people are making candy shoots. You know, there might even be a dinosaur walking around. Who knows?
So basically, if I'm a family, we get to dress up, get in our car, mm-hmm. and drive through and interact with the different tents.
Yes.
Get candy in a safe way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you should definitely come, folks. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
And invite people. This is a great event to invite neighbors to, especially if you have family who doesn't know what they're going to do for Halloween, who are nervous about going door to door, because door to door is a little sketchy.
It is. However, I will say, make sure that, you know, if you're like piling in a bunch of people into your car, that you're safely piling people into your car. Make sure that you're still obeying all of the rules. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a rule follower. So, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And just know that when they get here, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to direct them and guide them where they need to go. So don't even fret about, oh my goodness, I'm here. Now what do I do? We'll have a lot of great staff, actually. A lot of our staff is going to be out there leading people and guiding them and letting them know where to go. I guess as soon as I tell you all what you're going to be doing. So,
yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I show up and say, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So now this last Sunday, Patrick talked about gifts and shared some about 1 Corinthians 12. And part of that passage is about parts of the body and mm-hmm. how every part is valuable and necessary. Now, the takeaway is that though all of us are different, mm-hmm. each of us have skills that are valuable and necessary, even if they don't seem as important as others.
Right.
So, Heather, I was curious to hear from you about some skills that you see yourself gifted with that maybe you didn't used to see as glamorous or maybe appreciate as much when you were younger, that maybe you appreciate more now with some wisdom.
Yeah, no. Well, it's funny because when Patrick was talking and he had his squirrel moment, that's about the time I had my squirrel moment. And all I could think of was the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where the girl is wanting to go out, the daughter is wanting to go out onto her own adventure, and her dad is being stubborn, and the mom takes her aside and she says, the father is the head, but I am the neck, and I control the neck. That was my squirrel moment during
so when you heard parts of the body, you thought of the neck thing from My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah, so how can I control that? But glamorous, wow, I would never have even came close to thinking that my gifts that I didn't realize were gifts were anywhere close to glamorous at all when I was younger. I was that person who, when someone said, there's a food drive or a clothing drive or I was the first one to raise my hand and drag all of my children to it. So I am hospitality, you know, mm-hmm. it was a big one, helping, connecting to the point of wear down and burn out. Like every time there was an opportunity, and that was not glamorous. that was really, really, really hard because I didn't know how to say no, you know, and that just really, you know, I had no balance. I had no balance between family and helping and doing my job.
Yeah.
And so it kind of like came to a head a few times and the reason I didn't see those when I was younger as being glamorous or good is because I didn't know how to balance them. I didn't know how to say no. And no one had really told me about gifts or the ability to adapt a gift into something spiritual, which I thought was like mm-hmm. boom moment for me when someone finally said, hey, here's a great book about toxic charity, and here's another resource with Strength Finders. Those were very, very helpful to me because it saw a clear picture of who I am. I love people. I love winning them over. I love strategies and developing and restoration. Restoration is so important to me. So all of those are huge, but I never saw them as glamorous because I wanted to be a teacher and I wanted to be discernment and wisdom, and I didn't know how to connect all those together.
I think there's always that temptation, right? We always see the other gifts and we're like, I wish I could do that. Yes. Or, oh man, I wish I could be that person on stage that gets, you know, the limelight. And especially a lot of those hospitality or service-oriented things, I think the grunt work, we don't always see as glamorous or as important.
Right.
But truthfully, and I think, you know, you realize this with wisdom, it's like that stuff is just as important as anything else. The work that happens behind the scene mm-hmm. is just as, if not more important sometimes than the other things. And that stuff matters. Like the trash has to get taken out. The stuff has to get sorted. People have to get, you know, like those things are really, really important.
Well, I have a quote that somebody gave me a long time ago that I really, really appreciate more now than when I was younger because it really didn't make sense. Mm-hmm. Nelson Mandela said, "Lead from the back and let others believe they are in front." And that didn't mean anything to me for a really, really long time until I got older. And then I started to realize the example that we set for other people pushes them to do more, too, especially within a family, within a church. You know, it's important.
So. So we're spending a lot of time on this question, which isn't a bad thing. But there's something you just said that I think is really important for parents to hear. When you are serving and working alongside your kids, you are teaching them invaluable things.
Exactly.
Which is worth remembering.
Yeah.
So my next question is this, you know, speaking of the body and the gifted gifts, different gifts, what do you think the value of seeing our giftedness in the context of the larger community is?
Yeah. So again, there's no new thing that I can just put out there, analogy that I can come up with. I mean, the main things are like a puzzle or a body and all the parts going together. But I think once you kind of know where your part fits in, whether it's mm-hmm. in the puzzle or whether it's in the body, you start becoming drawn more and you're more aware and you're more directed to using your gifts. I think I kind of said it like it's like a spidey sense. Once you finally have like all of these components put together, you can see, oh, hey, I'm really good at this, but I'm going to need to draw this person in, and this person in to help me personify and get it out there and get it done because I am no good at this. So I think in the greater picture, it helps you to stop seeing I'm not good enough for this or I can't do this. You start looking at, hey, I can do this, but if you will do this and help me with this, then we can get it done.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like that.
Because it's when we separate ourselves from others and like can't admit like, oh, I'm bad at this, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like letting insecurity run our lives.
Exactly.
And we were created to work together. So there are going to be things that you as a person are not good at.
Yeah.
But like realize there are other people who needs you and your gifts and your abilities. And I think we do have to see that together. So to dive out of the analogies and the mm-hmm. body stuff, how about this? How about, can you share a time where you witnessed a true like body acting together moment, which leads to something amazing?
Yeah,
happening?
I can. I'm thinking about this and there are so many things that I can look back on and see and, you know, bring up, but there's one that really stands out in my mind. So, for about a 7-year period of time, mm-hmm. I stepped out of working in ministry within a church.
Yeah.
And had a couple of secular jobs that were nonprofit, you know, program director and management type things.
Still very much ministry.
Still very much ministry, but not within a church. And I think, you know, God gave me that time because I needed it. And but the biggest one that I did was we had this Kaboom playground that we wanted to build, and it's a community driven thing, and we're building this playground.
Hold
in
on,
one
Ursh,
day.
Time out.
It's like,
is Kaboom Playground a real okay? Because the only interaction I've had with Kaboom Playground is a Parks and Rec episode. So is that a real thing that
it
like
is,
people do a Kaboom?
It is a real thing. It's a build in one day.
I just thought this was a joke on Parks and Rec. I didn't realize it was
not
a real thing. I love
it's
it.
It's legit. It's legit.
Sorry,
but
I totally interrupted you.
No, that's great, Squirrel. But anyway, it's a really amazing thing because, you know, you talked about those parts. You talked uh-huh. about the community coming together. What people didn't see is the year before all of this, all the preparation and the work that went mm-hmm. into it, all the people that we had to connect with. I mean, who even thinks about having to pull up soil to make sure that concrete is good for it? I mean, who thinks about that?
Yeah, someone who has to actually know how to do that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So it was this whole learning thing where we had to spend a lot of time reaching out to other people. Mm-hmm. So communication was extremely important. And then we had to gather all this stuff. And then we had to ask the kids what kind of a playground they wanted. Then we had to get volunteers, and we had to have volunteers in shifts doing different things and checking all the things and making sure there wasn't electricity or wires under the ground, checking the soil, like I said, but all of these things. And we did a time-lapse video from the time that we started to the time that we ended. And that time-lapse video was all of 3 minutes long. Mm-hmm. But it encompassed almost a 24-hour period day of people just not stopping. And you can see during that time-lapse all the different components coming to life that you've been working on and putting together. And everybody had to come together in community for this one project. And the first time you saw, after the ribbon cutting ceremony and a kid go down the slide, the thing is nobody will ever remember all those things that happened.
Yeah.
But you will. And I think that's like one of the biggest things that I've ever been a part of, where I really felt like so many different people from so many different walks of life were coming together to build this amazing playground for kids that they may not even know who they were. Or mm-hmm. where they came from, or why they were building it, but they wanted to do something great for the community that would have a lasting impact. And that was just like, just an amazing moment for me.
Yeah, I mean, it is so cool to see, truthfully, when the body comes together and makes things happen, and realizing that there are different gifts, and those different gifts have played different roles and are valuable in different ways. You know, even... not so much during this season because we're kind of limited in what we're doing, but on a typical Sunday, the variety of gifts and people it takes to really make a Sunday morning happen is incredible. Yeah. I mean, there's hundreds of people that it really takes to make a Sunday happen, and that ranges from people who are just good at smiling and greeting, that ranges mm-hmm. from people who are good at tech stuff because that stuff is super complicated in different ways. People who are musical, which I could never, never, ever be a part of that group of people.
I can attest to that. Not that you don't try. I mean, you love.
Trust me, I will sing along.
Worshiping, but it may not be something we give you a microphone for.
No one wants to give me a microphone, and that wouldn't be what's best for the church. Yeah, but and even people who are artsy and who do the design work and things like that, or even I always say like, God bless you volunteers who work with young kids, because I'm so not wired that way. So I will occasionally go work down there for an hour and I am exhausted afterwards. Yeah. And at the same time, people are like, well, I don't get how you work with teenagers. I'm like, whatever. I love working with teenagers.
No,
that's how it goes. Like the body acting together does amazing things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all that stuff is valuable.
Exactly.
Gosh, I love talking about this. Patrick talked about a couple of spiritual gift roadblocks Sunday, mm-hmm. which is basically stuff that gets in the way of us fulfilling our call to use our gifts for the common good. So I'd like to name both of these and just get some personal insights. Mm-hmm. So the first roadblock was ignorance or not being aware of your giftedness. So Heather, for you, what was some of the best stuff you did to learn about your giftedness so you could use your gifts?
Well, one of the biggest things, I love the fact that Patrick brought up all of these resources and tools that are out there. And for me, the big one was Strength Finders. Strength Finders was a perfect format for me to embrace my giftedness and find out all about them and kind of delve more into them and have a little bit more insight and to be able to utilize them. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing is once you figure out what your giftedness is, that doesn't mean that you're not going to tap into other things. You know, you have to be willing to adapt your abilities as they grow and they develop. And so that was key to me, because then that also meant that, hey, there is an opportunity for me to shed a little discernment or wisdom on something, but I'm going to use my gifts that I have mm-hmm. and I'm going to get them started, get it planted, but I now know how to put the ball in someone else's court. So I can get it started, I can kick it off, but now I have the resources to know where to send them to. So that, having that was huge. And I think the biggest thing was, is somebody just came up and said, do you know you're really good at that? Oh, and that's, sometimes that's all it takes, is like somebody coming up and saying, you just nailed that. That was amazing. And I'm like, well, I didn't think it was that. I mean, I just like served some Kool-Aid today. but you know, I mean, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, sometimes it does take someone else reaching out and saying, this is a great thing.
Sometimes we have limited perspectives on ourselves too. Sometimes community can help us discern things, right? Like you're saying, like people being encouraging, which I also think challenges us to make sure that when we see people who are doing things well,
we tell them and encourage them. Well, you're right, because the biggest thing is people feel insecure and people want to belong. But if we don't tell them that they belong, then they're not going to feel it. And that's a huge thing. So reaching out, I think, is extremely important to people.
So with your streak finders, what's one thing on there that you're like, okay, I know I'm pretty good at this now, so I try to do it?
Adaptability.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, and actually
chaos
we've had this.
Families. Yeah, there we go.
Well, we've had this conversation about being adaptable. You're like, I mean, you've said to me, Heather, I think you're the most adaptable person on the team. You just let it go. But I think that's important. Cause I can step back and just kind of like, okay, we need to shift gears. Let's shift gears. Let's just do this.
It is what it is. You got to roll on.
Yeah. So, so I think that's been a huge one. And, I don't know. Restoration. That's a big one for me too. Restoring things, putting things not necessarily back to where they need to be, but getting them back on the right track, getting them flowing again. I actually really enjoy that one. I really enjoy coming in and kind of like listening to people and where they're at and their walk and how they're developing that, and then figuring out, okay, I really like to connect people and put them with who they need to be with. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge thing for me.
No, I think that's a big deal. And you know, I we've really tried to be vulnerable on this. So anytime I like say, hey, what's great? I'm curious. What's the other side of it? What's one thing you're like, I need to not do that? That's not me.
Yeah. And that's always hard because I also have the personality type where don't tell me I can't do something because I'm going to do it. I have a horrible memory. I'm like, I can't remember anything to save my life. Now I can remember every child's name. If a kid walked in the room right now, I could tell you who they were and give you some great, you know, information about them. But as for retaining things, I just can't do it. And it frustrates me to no end because I hear people standing up there and they're giving the message and they're teaching and I have that gift, but not like they do. Mm-hmm. You know, I just cannot get up there and preach a sermon. It would just be all over the map, you know?
So I love this because I'll be the bipartisan member and observe this. So like what's great about that is maybe you not the person on the stage giving the sermon, but I also know plenty of people who can be on the stage and give the sermon who can't have that one-on-one conversation in a restorative way like you can. And I think that's the value of seeing our gifts in a larger context.
I agree.
And we're way away from the question I asked you, which is mostly my fault.
That's okay.
But, I'm a bad host, and that's fine. So before we move on to the next roadblock, talking about giftedness and learning your giftedness, I do want to remind everyone that right now on the church website, there is a clickable link at the bottom of the page that leads you to a spiritual gifts assessment. If you don't like have anywhere to start, that's a good place to start.
Yeah.
And like Heather said, strength finders, but there's all kinds of personality assessment stuff out there that's super useful. Getting to know yourself is a very helpful thing in being like an effective member of teams and like working for the community.
It really is because knowing your strengths and knowing the people's strengths that you work with help develop that team.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, we went through the whole season of, okay, you do this, and but once we all kind of like came together and said, oh, you're really good at that, we started, you know, using our gifts or using our strengths with our gifts instead of trying to beat a dead horse, so to speak. I mean, we actually were, you were lead in this and exceptional at seeing like, hey, you're really good at this administrative and you're really good at the creativity. So why don't you do this and you do this? And so I think it's extremely important that you invest in that strength funders
and not resource. Being afraid to play to strengths too. It's so often in our workplaces or on our teams, we become so rigid and build these walls up. And I think that's one of the things I love about our team is we've been really intentional about trying to tear the walls down. Yeah,
exactly.
And letting each other help in each other's areas where we are weak, which is just smart for anyone
to do. Right, because the worst thing you can do is start working in a toxic environment. And that's what happens to a lot of people. But we've been very, very blessed. So yeah. Love our team.
Yeah. So roadblock two was discontentment. So why do you think that we often envy the giftedness of others instead of valuing what we've been given? And have you ever experienced that? I know we've talked about this a little bit already.
Yeah, I'm not really sure, you know, specifically how to answer that question. There's a whole lot of things that I wish I could have done. And I hate falling into that comparison trap, because once you get in there, you become complacent, and it's not safe. Again, toxic. It's dangerous. And
the comparison game is not a healthy game
to
play.
It is. You just start asking questions that have nothing to do with the relevancy of what you're trying to accomplish in ministry or life or where whatever you're using your strengths for. And now I'm having my squirrel moment again, but, the biggest thing is discontentment creates an environment of toxicity.
Yeah.
And that's what you're trying to stay away from. So as for specific times or things like that, or yeah, I've experienced it. Yes, I've been through it and it was not healthy. And it's part of the reason why I stepped away from working in church ministry and went into a secular job for 7 years of my life. Just because you start feeling like you're not good enough and you're not going to ever be good enough. And so sometimes God just completely tears you down and just trims you and then builds you back up. And so I spent 7 years being built back up and being prepared to come back into a healthy situation working in ministry with some wonderful people. So I'll say that. I'll go there.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's important for us to realize that when we let that discontentment or really sometimes even that insecurity into our lives and let it kind of control how we behave and act, it doesn't just hurt us. It can hurt those around us.
Yeah.
One of the things that I love most about some of the leaders I've gotten to work with in my ministry time is that I have worked with a lot of leaders who've been very enabling and very encouraging. So they don't squash quality. They don't tell people, they don't belittle people or pigeonhole them into, when giftedness shows, they actually let those things shine. And I think that's an important thing for anyone in any kind of leadership position. I think if you are competing with people on your team, you're not a team.
You're not a team. Yeah.
In fact, if the more your team shines, the more you all shine. And, that really is important for all of us. There's always going to be someone who can do something you can't do.
Right.
There's always going to be someone who can do what you do better than you do. Right. And if you're constantly comparing yourself, it's just never going
to
be good.
But we still do that. I mean, we still do it as hard as we try not to. Like, I know coming into this for me, age was a huge issue. I'm a little bit older than I was when I first started at working in ministry, and I can't do all the things that I used to do. And it took me a while to have some grace and kind of get through that to realize that, well, it's okay, because I'm just going to let Ryan chase children today and I'm going to sit over here and eat the popcorn.
But
so,
again, like that's,
but it's a good thing.
But even that, within that, like you have a perspective that like we didn't, like you're the mom on the staff that has kids who has a different perspective, you know, like there's a reason that we need to see ourselves in a larger group context.
Yeah. And you know, we had that conflict and we had that resolution and we are in a really, really good place because we worked through it and because we leaned into each other and we invested in each other. And I think that was a really important thing. So,
well, as crazy as it might seem, is we're actually at the end of this. We're about to wrap up. But I do want to say, is there anything else you'd like to share that you found interesting from Sunday's sermons, or just about giftedness in general, or anything I didn't ask?
I would say that my favorite thing that I took away from the sermon was I love the repurposed for greater things. I love that visual of knowing that you could take something and transform it into something else. to be used, to be utilized, you know? And I guess going back to my old thing, me being older, just because, like you said, just because I'm older doesn't mean that I still don't give something or have something left in me. It's just being utilized differently. So that was my takeaway.
Yeah, well, and that, well, that's an interesting perspective that a lot of us, you know, especially those of us who are a bit younger, it's like things have to change and, you know, I have to modify or help in different ways, but that doesn't make anyone any less valuable, you know, because experience is great too. So yeah, I think that's great. Thank you so much, Heather, for joining me today and having this conversation. And thank all of you for joining us this week. If you're on iTunes and don't mind, please give us a 5-star rating and maybe a review. And if you want to keep up with all of what Crossroads is doing, you can find more content and things like that on our Facebook. We have Instagram and YouTube. You can find us by searching Crossroads Christian, especially on our YouTube channel. There's all kinds of content for adults, kids, and teenagers that's specific to them. But more than any of that, as you enter into the rest of the week, please make the most of the rest of your 167 hours. See you later.